All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, and this is your final edition of the show before the season starts, basically, as the Bucks will play exactly 1 week from tonight. I'm recording this on Thursday morning, and a week from tonight, they'll be at Raymond James Stadium hosting the Cowboys, and not just their season opener, but the entire league season opener, which is what you get to do when you're the Super Bowl champions. And so we've got 7 days, and the Bucks are getting onto a regular routine now. Of course, they made their cuts. Their roster is at 53. There could still be some movement between now and the game because some guys are coming off the COVID list and some waiver wire stuff. But they're basically coming off 4 days off, you know, after they played on Saturday in Houston, final preseason game. They are off. They were Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They were off. Back on the practice field today and in like a normal game week mode. So like normally you're off on Tuesdays in the NFL. So with the Thursday game, they'll be off on Saturday after practicing today and tomorrow. And then coming back Sunday and going Sunday through Wednesday in game prep, getting ready for Dallas on Thursday night. In other years, of course, this would be the night of the fourth and final preseason game because you always play that last one on a Thursday and they always play it, you know, the week before the regular season. It's always the Thursday before Labor Day weekend, which is tonight, which is when college football has a big slate too. And that was always that throwaway game where, like, not even the starters, but the second string guys, too, barely played. And it'd just be real, real down the roster type stuff. So that game's been lopped off. And now that we've had the preseason happen with 3 games instead of 4, you know, we were wondering, is it going to be the same? How are they going to adjust, like, the roles of each game? And, I mean, it feels like they kept everything pretty much the same, except there's no fourth game now. So they basically are just saying the fourth game was useless before. Because the first game you had, you know, one series from the starters. I guess the second game, you know, normally you'd get a little more from the starters building up to the third game. In this case, the Bucks didn't play them at all. And then the third game was just like a usual third game, even though this was the last one where they played the starters the most of any of the games. So anyway, no game tonight like we would have had in prior years, but we're ready for Dallas. And a lot has obviously gone on in the past few days with the roster stuff. So we'll talk all about that. We'll look ahead, some things around the NFL as well, all here on the free stretch today, which, like it always is brought to you by our good friends at Bill Curry Ford, who have the nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty going at all times. That means anything you buy from there, whether it's new, whether it's pre-owned, used, whatever, and, you know, car, truck, van, no matter what, it's covered. Like, you literally don't have to worry about, oh, God, my engine, I've got some trouble. I'm like, this is going to cost me, you know, $600. No, if you have engine trouble, and you bought the car at Bill Curry Ford, you take it back to Bill Curry Ford, even if it's a few years from now, as long as you're still the one that owns it, covered, done. That's all you have to do. And that goes for, again, anything you get there. You can go on the website and see what they got that way, BillCurryFord.com. It's spelled C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. Or go see them a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, where they've been serving the Tampa area for 60 years now. And check out the whole scene over there. And thanks to them for always taking care of the free stretch. Also, thanks to the Joes for having me on here, like they have been doing for, God, what is it? I'm trying to think, how many seasons has this been now? Like, what was the first season I started doing this show on Joe Bucks Fan? Was it, I want to say, like 2014, 2015? I can't remember how long it's been. And yet, it doesn't feel like that many, but now looking back, I think it's been quite a while. So whatever this is, the 6th, 7th, 8th season here on Joe Bucks Fan, it's really, really cool to be here at the dawning of a new season. And, you know, obviously with everything that's happened both on the field and off the field over the past year, year and a half now, this season, at least I hope, you know, this is what I always do before every season. You know, you think about, okay, what are you hoping for as a Bucks fan? I assume if you're listening to this, you're probably a Bucks fan. And there's the obvious things you're always hoping for. You want your team to win the Super Bowl and, you know, go 13-3 or 14-2, whatever it is. You know, you're rooting for all those things. But this year, I mean, Brian Ford, the Bucks COO, they had a little thing at the stadium for media this past week, kind of a state of the franchise thing to kick off the season. He said, you know, that like the rest of the league, they're at full capacity and every single ticket for every single game is already sold. So, like, you can go on Ticketmaster because they have the secondary market. And all of the game, there are 8 home games, they're all available. You can buy tickets to them. So, like, the cheapest one may be, like, $150, where normally face value would be whatever it is. For some, it's in the double digits, like 60, 70, 80 bucks. But you can still, if you really are willing to pay, every single game has ticket availability, and it varies between the games. Obviously, the big one on Thursday night, the opener, I think that one's getting overhyped. I mean, the Thursday night opener is fun. It'll be cool. Anything in primetime is always cool. But by week four, you don't even remember the opener. Like, that game always seems like ancient history 5 minutes after it's over. So it'll be a cool experience. But as far as people who are thinking, man, I just want to go see the Bucks this year, like, I hope I get a chance, you're okay. I know, you know, we didn't all get, I didn't get season tickets either. I was planning on doing it, and they sold out. But you're okay. Like, there'll be some. And if you wait till the week of the game, a lot of these are going to go down even more. So don't think, oh, yeah, you just can't go anywhere near Raymond James Stadium this year, because I don't think that's going to be true. But what am I hoping for this year? Well, I hope everything goes off without a hitch, most of all. I mean, aside from the obvious, wanting the Bucks to repeat as Super Bowl champions and all the things that we all want, I mean, you see what's going on out there. You see some of the numbers rising, different reports about this, that, and the other with COVID. A lot of vaccinated people test positive, even though they're not feeling bad. And just basically, you know, you see, hey, we're going to put 65,000 people back into Raymond James Stadium, which has not been done. And when's the last time Raymond James Stadium had 65,000 people in it for a Bucks game? Forget COVID, because even before the COVID year last year, we weren't filling it up anyway. So realistically, I mean, it's been years since a legitimate, bona fide, jam-packed, jelly-tight, sold-out crowd at a Bucks game, right? I mean, the Super Bowl had the most of any of the games last year, and that was still like, what was that, 30,000 or something? I was there, and it was awesome. It was unbelievable, but it wasn't the same, okay? Don't make any mistake. And none of the regular season games even had that many. And like I said, even going back a few years before COVID, we hadn't exactly been selling the joint out routinely. So that's going to be cool. I just hope there aren't negative repercussions of it. You know, I hope the numbers keep getting lower and that it's not one of those things where it's doing harm. So the idea of it is thrilling. I mean, who doesn't want to, you know, I have so many memories of being in Raymond James Stadium, most from the early 2000s and the late 90s, of when that place was humming on a weekly basis. And I was there for every damn one of them. I went to 100 and something games in a row back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And then obviously it wasn't like that for a long time. And then the Bucks got better, but it was during a year where it couldn't be like that. So now here we are, and we're going back to normal, and they're off the Super Bowl, and everything's sold out, and there's a waiting list again. And this one you have to pay $100 to be on, so it's a real waiting list, not like the old one that had like 350 million people on it or whatever it was, but anybody could just go click their name on a list. You know, now you got to actually back it up with some coinage. So it's cool. I just hope that's the main thing I'm thinking about when we start this season. You know, what are you hoping for this year? There's that. Obviously, there is the Super Bowl, which we all want again. But that's, you know, that's a long way off. What I would really like, and what I think is very realistic, to start off, you know, as an end to that mean, or no, wait, as a mean to that end, I mean, is it's been 14 years now, guys, since the Bucks won the NFC South, even despite having won the Super Bowl last year. So that, to me, you know, you take everything in stages. Like, your goal is to win every week, sure. Your goal is to win everything all the time. But, like, if I was Tom Brady, if I was Bruce Arians, if I was the Bucks, I'm saying, hey, we're going to win the NFC South. We're going to get a home playoff game, which we also haven't had in 14 years. Obviously, big asterisk there because the Super Bowl was at home. But, again, it wasn't the same. So, let's win the division, get a first-round bye, host on divisional weekend at Raymond James Stadium for the first time. Like I said, I mean, that's going back even to the Super Bowl year, the last time they hosted on divisional weekend at Raymond James Stadium, because in 2007 and 2005, they lost at home on wildcard weekend. So there's that. Like, that right there is goal number one. Then, of course, you go from there. What else am I hoping for this year? I'm looking forward to the increased excitement just in general. And the main reason is because now, you know, I always talk about sharing these experiences, and it's, if you're just sitting alone on a couch watching a game alone, no matter how big of a Buck fan you are, I think you're losing some of it. The fun of it and all the memories I have as a kid, you know, or watching games with my dad, if you have kids, or my mom, who's a huge Bucks fan, but my whole family on both sides, really, not just my mom and dad, or going to games, or watching with my friends through the years. You know, I hope there's more of that this year. I already have one of my friends trying to set up a get-together for next Thursday, which is really cool. In fact, the biggest roadblock we're running into is that a lot of guys are going to the game, But like stuff like that didn't happen as much in past years. I had to be the one to say to everybody, hey, you want to come over for the game? And a few guys might be like, yeah, okay. You know, now I don't have to do that. Everyone's fired up. Everyone's pumped up. There's more games at cooler times of the day, like 4 o'clock games and primetime games. And I'm looking forward to, like, again, just having gatherings at the house, more people are going to other people's houses, things like that. I'm obviously looking forward to the normalcy, like I mentioned, with the crowds. And then you get to the on-field stuff and seeing what's going to happen. So those are all things I'm excited about as the season gets started. And if you want to email me, I always like hearing what you guys are excited about, too. So if you want to email me, I can read them on the show next week. BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com is the email address, BobbyGameDay, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, @BobbyGameDay. If you want a fridge schedule, like I said, I typed up the fridge schedules with the logos for all the teams and everything. I can send you the Word file if you email me. If you want one, there's still plenty of time to get that done. I've sent out a bunch already. It looks, I've got mine printed out already on my fridge. It looks great. For the past like month, I've had it up there along with the Gator schedule. Every time I go to the fridge or walk by the kitchen at all, get that little tingle of it being football season. Because I don't put the schedules up till it's like, you know, I don't put them up in the summer, even though they're made available. When I type that schedule up, print it out, and put the magnets on the fridge, that means we're about ready to put toe to leather, as Gene Deckerhoff says. And we are about to do that on Thursday night. So email me if you want one of those. And anything else, any other comments, I always like hearing them, whether it's on the email or on Twitter. So the Bucks got the roster down to 53 guys, and nothing really surprising. I mean, we talked last week on some anticipated things as far as, you know, there was maybe like two or three roster spots total that were actually in question. They are keeping Nick Leverett, it looks like, as the ninth offensive lineman. D. Delaney makes the team. They only have four cornerbacks right now, but D. Delaney is one of them, as a couple other guys got moved. But the biggest thing I think about with the cutdowns is the human side of it, because you look at the NFL and, you know, you go from 80 to 53, that's 27 guys. There's 32 teams. So a lot of people, I mean, there's a lot of guys who basically have done nothing but eat, sleep, and breathe football since they were, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, or at least since they were a freshman in high school, and it's been like 10 years of just, again, eat, sleep, breathe football, who just got told, hey, you know, we're good, we don't need you anymore, and that's just it, and they're not going to put a pair of pads over their head again, like ever. And that's just the personal side of it as far as, like, you know, the emotional side of it, not even the financial side of it, because a lot of guys, you know, who are looking to just score any type of money that they can, see, it's not just about the rah-rah stuff. I mean, if you look at some of these numbers, I mean, just even making the practice squad, a lot of guys got cut outright and they're gone. Some, it's like, okay, I didn't make the active roster, but at least I got a practice squad spot. So the practice squad this year, there's rules about, you know, how many you can have, and there's rules about how much tenure you're supposed to have. Like, it used to be only like rookies and young guys were on the practice squad. Now they have a few spaces allowed for guys who have been in the league more than 2 years. So I think it's like there's 16 guys on a practice squad. I think it's four maybe that are allowed to be on it that have been in the league more than 2 years. So it's still mostly younger guys, but like Ryan Griffin, for example, who's been on the Bucks roster. And actually, this will be his seventh year with the organization, which is the most of any quarterback in Buck history, even though he's only thrown like three passes. He's been on the active roster all these years in a row, but he'll be on the practice squad now because Kyle Trask is the third quarterback. He's one. There's another couple, but the numbers, like, for the practice squad, you get paid on the practice squad if you're one of the rookie guys or have 2 years or less of experience. You get paid $9,200 a week, and that's not all year. That's for the 18 weeks of the regular season, but that's still pretty good, right? That comes out to $165,600 for a full season, which is not, like, filthy, stinking rich, but hey, if you're a guy who's just out of college and your thing is football, I mean, it's not like, oh, well, I guess I got cut. I'm going to go ahead and do that residency now at Johns Hopkins instead. You know, a lot of these guys, like, it's like the faucet turns off, it turns off. You can keep that faucet running a little bit of money. $165,000 for 18 weeks is not too shabby. So that's a big deal. And for veterans, like for the guys who have been in the league more than 2 years, it's $11,500 a week. But then there's a big jump from that to the active roster as well. The NFL minimum salary in the season of 2021 coming up is going to be $36,667 per week times 18 weeks. You get paid on the bye week too. And that comes out to $660,000 a year. So if you can just scrape out, even if you're on the practice squad, you get called up for a few weeks, like that can really make a big difference for your family. And for many of these, and most of these guys, you know, you're going to get to do this for maybe 2-3 years. If you're a practice squad guy, it's unlikely you're going to carve out, you know, a 15-year career here. But if you can stick around and just carve it out, get a couple, you know, guy gets hurt, maybe you get put on the active roster for that week. And the active roster is 53 guys still. You are allowed to activate two others off the practice squad for game day for a total of 55. Of course, 48 are the only ones considered active. So you have inactives, but even the inactives get a full game check. I was reading about all this because it's fascinating. Like, I'm imagining being, like, again, 22 years old, just out of college, not like, you know, having a career lined up or anything, just trying to play football and being like, okay, you can either make $0 or $10,000 a week or $40,000 a week, just based on like really, really, really thin margins. Like, can you imagine like the pressure some of these guys must feel like they're under, and their girlfriends or their wives, or like 22, you know, 23, not a lot have wives, but yeah, whoever it is, like, okay, it's either gonna be zero, I'm just on the street. Oh, cool. Whew, I get $92,000 or $9,200 for the next few weeks. I can make that work. I can, you know, put that in the bank for a little while. And then, oh my God, I made the NFL. I made a 53-man roster. Are you telling me I get $600,000 and I'm probably going to play special teams for a few snaps? Like, that's just huge. So that happened to a lot of people over the past week, and it's still happening right now. But really, with the Bucs, the amount of turnover from last year's Super Bowl champion is minimal. In fact, of the 53 names on the roster right now, there are only 9 new faces to the organization. There's a few more that were on the practice squad that are now on the active, but 9 people are new to the team, and those are 6 of the draft picks. Of course, Joe Tryon, Shoyinka, Kyle Trask, Robert Hainsey, the lineman, Jalen Darden, Kenny Britt, and Grant Stewart at linebacker all made the team as draft picks. Then the other names, there's only 3 of them that are non-draft pick newcomers, and that's Giovanni Bernard, of course, who looks like he's going to be okay. He tweaked the ankle in that preseason game against the Texans Saturday. It was a little worrisome. He was on the practice field earlier today, from what I heard. It's about noon right now, and supposedly he was out there with the ankle wrapped. He's still got a week to recover, so I think he should be okay. But Giovanni Bernard, Dee Delaney, and Chris Cooper, the safety, who actually came in. He actually only has 1 NFL game ever, and he didn't even play in it. He was inactive, but he's only got 1 game on the active roster, and it was the final game of 2019. He was with the Falcons. That was the game that Jameis Winston threw the walk-off pick 6. So those are the 3 new guys, or 9 new guys, 3 completely new and 6 that were drafted. And everybody else, besides just the 22 starters, it's not even just the 22 starters returning. The Bucs have, you know, well over 2/3 of the roster that are people who have been here, people who have been in this organization, most of them on the active roster, or at least on the practice squad too. So that continuity, oh, and you know, you keep hearing about the continuity with the players, don't forget the coordinator continuity too, because when you win a Super Bowl, especially, but even if you just have success in general, it's pretty common to get picked off of coordinators, you know, like, and I'm not saying, I hope those guys do become head coaches like Byron Leftwich and Todd Bowles again, but since they didn't, we can at least look at that as a positive, because the Bucs have their head coach, both coordinators, all starters, and really most of the reserves all returning. And like I've been telling you, and here's one thing I want to say today on the show. You know, just because you have those things, and it's, I would always rather have them, to do what the Bucs did last year and bring those same people back, of course they're one of the favorites to do it again, rightfully so. But just because it happens once does not mean it's going to happen again. And in fact, it doesn't even really give you that much more of a chance it's going to happen again. I mean, it's good to be good, and the Bucs are good, but you have to have respect, okay? And this is something so many people forget. You have to respect how random life is, and especially sports. But people all the time, I always hear people say little things here and there, and some people believe in fate, and some people believe in all these weird things, or if something happens, oh, well, it was just meant to be. Like, I don't think people, and I'm not trying to get in some existential discussion or discuss religion or anything, But I think people really do not respect how random life is sometimes. And like the Bucks last season, that was incredible. That Jared Cook fumble in the NFC Championship game, you remember that play? That force, but if that play doesn't happen, we lose the NFC Championship game to the Saints, probably. And we're not talking in any of the same terms that we've been talking in for the past several months. That's just one play, and there's a bunch of them. The Packers game, or wait, that was the divisional round. Excuse me, we lose in the divisional round without the Jared Cook fumble in New Orleans. The Packers game, too. I still literally cannot believe the Scotty Miller touchdown before halftime happened. And the Bucks may have won without it. I don't know. But, I mean, like, you got to realize, like, the Al Pacino speech in Any Given Sunday, which actually maybe I'll play later in the show just to get everybody pumped up to start the season. Like, one inch here or there and you don't quite make it. You know, one inch here or there and you don't quite catch it. The inches we need are all around us. And they're, you know, if you play the same game over or play the same season over 10 times, you'll get 10 different results. So, you know, we pulled the handle on the roulette wheel last year and it hit. And it wasn't all luck. The Bucks were really good. I'm not saying everything is luck. I'm saying the margins between winning and losing are so fine that randomness plays a much larger role than anybody usually wants to give it credit for. So, okay, we won. That was awesome. That doesn't mean we're going to... I mean, look at 2002. I thought in 2002, with that defense and everybody came back, there was no reason to believe. I thought we'd be the Patriots. Like, I thought we were going to win, like, two or three of those Super Bowls and start like this dynasty down here. And the Bucks just went like, you know, 2003, I mean, just nothing. But some really wild random stuff happened, right? There was the extra point block when they lost to Carolina in the home opener of the next season where they scored the game-tying touchdown to force overtime to make it 17-16, except the extra point got blocked and they lost right there. The Colts game, where they blew the 35-14 lead with 4 minutes left on Monday Night Football, and they missed the call on the onside. I mean, just all these little things. And all of a sudden, where did they finish that year? I think it was 7-9 or something. Didn't even make the playoffs. And I'm not saying that's going to happen in 2021. I'm saying I'm getting emails. I may read one right here, actually. I got an email the other day. This is from my good friend Peter. And I love the enthusiasm. And I know he's listening. But here's what he said. Let me find this email for a second. I should have had this pulled up before. He said, yeah, he asked me, are you going to record a show before or after we slaughter Dallas by a minimum of 17 on opening night? Hey, oh, brake pump. And yeah, Bucks, I think they'll win. I mean, the defending Super Bowl champion, I'll have to look the record up of that team in that Thursday night game at home to start the season. It's pretty good, though. Straight up, at least. I'm not sure what it is against the spread. But hey, you think Dallas is like, whoa, wait, these guys won the Super Bowl last year and they're hosting in primetime? Well, hell, let's not get on the plane. Dallas intends to show up for the football game. Like, they'll be there at the stadium, and they don't give a good goddamn about the Bucks winning the Super Bowl last year. Like, they're going to play a game. Like, that. This stuff isn't promised to anybody. And by the way, good point. There's no need for me to do a show next Thursday morning with a game Thursday night, so I'll probably just wait and do it Friday morning and react to the game Thursday night because, you know, there's no need to do it before the game, then the show is not listenable after a game's already been played. So I'll probably do next week's show on Friday morning to answer your question there, Peter, but thank you for the email. But yeah, hey, who knows, man? I mean, the Bucks should have a winning record. I think they're a favorite in the NFC South. I think all these things are going to happen, but I don't know any of that for sure, and neither do you, and neither do they. Neither do the people who are actually participating in any of these events. And that's what makes it fun. You know, like, you just, I like not knowing. I like not having anything guaranteed. I like going week by week and just living and dying with it all. It's so much fun, and it'll start on Thursday night next week. But that's what I'm thinking about going into the 2021 season, just to, you know, long story short. And so, you know, everyone's a journey, and like I said last week, you're not the defending champion, you're the reigning champion. You don't get like a half-game lead in the standings for being the Super Bowl champion. Everybody plays the same amount of games. It all starts fresh. You know, that it is what it is. So, it was awesome, the parades, and they can never take it away from you. Like, even if the Bucks have a losing season the next 15 seasons in a row, kind of like it felt like they did after the first Super Bowl they won, they will still have won this Super Bowl, and all those memories and everything that came with it, you can never take that stuff away. But, hey, if you can get it, do it again, make those memories again. But the memories get made either way, because I have tons of great memories, even from the 90s and all those seasons that didn't amount to anything. And so, you know, that's another thing I'm looking forward to this year. My son's a little older now. He's starting to get it more. he's starting to hit that age. Like, I remember, I think back to when I remember things in sports, and like in the 80s, I was born in 1980. I remember things here and there, but when I really started to remember every Bucks season was like the early 90s when I was like middle school, like, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh grade. That's when I can go. I can still tell you like most more about those seasons than I could about the 2015 season or some random season, which I don't even remember, because it burns into your mind when you're that age. So he's starting to hit that age now. So I'm looking forward to sharing all this stuff with him too, among all the other things. Email me if you want to. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. On Twitter, you can get me at BobbyGameDay. A couple things from around the league as far as the cutdowns. The biggest surprise, I guess, just like everybody else, was what the Patriots did in not just naming Mac Jones the starter, which was surprising enough, but then Cam Newton just being outright released. But apparently it went really well. Cam had actually missed some time. There was like a COVID testing mixed up, if you remember. So Cam was out for a few days, and that wasn't the only reason. But Mac Jones, apparently Mac Jones just blew away the Patriots. And this was the quote from Adam Schefter that he reported. He said, quote, "The Patriots are so sure of Mac Jones that they felt it would be unfair to have kept Cam on the roster." Like, they're like, this is our guy, we're sold. And so they made the move. And there's all kinds of speculation. It doesn't matter. Point is, he's their guy. So that was kind of a big, I mean, of all the things around the league, you know, there's always some names that you recognize that get cut or don't get cut or whatever. But that was the biggest story. Of course, the Bucs will face the Patriots up in New England in week four on Sunday Night Football. And, you know, that's something we'll start turning our attention to as the games tick off the schedule. But for now, there was that. And the other little bit of NFL news, and of course, it's a sad story overall, but I thought it was also pretty interesting. The Saints, you know, New Orleans itself did pretty okay with the hurricane, but there's a lot of surrounding areas like Houma, where I have family, and all in like the southern Louisiana parishes down there that get hit pretty hard. So the Superdome itself is fine, but New Orleans itself as a city needs a little more time. So the Saints are not going to play their home opener at the Superdome. So they needed a place to play. They're playing the Packers on September 12th. That's their home opener. So this has happened before, you know, things like that, where a team has to move a game for whatever reason. And obviously the biggest thing is hoping everybody, you know, comes out of that in Louisiana and is able to get everything put back together. But as for the Saints, so they play the Packers in this game, right? So there was a good article written in the New Orleans newspaper, or somebody in New Orleans, I don't know where it was published, but I saw it on Twitter. And the Saints actually put a lot of painstaking effort into researching where it would be most advantageous for them to play this extra game. So, you know, they could play, actually Tampa was one of the places they could play. They could play in Jacksonville, which is where they eventually decided, Atlanta. There was a few, you know, around the southeast they wanted to stay. So the Saints actually did research on like the travel websites and things like that. And they tried to find, you know, okay, let's say I'm a typical Green Bay fan, because you know how well the Packers fans travel. What's the hardest place to get to out of all these cities? You know, Tampa, Atlanta, those are kind of, I mean, Atlanta especially is a hub. Tampa's not that hard to get to with the flights we have coming in and out of TIA. So they've determined that Jacksonville was the bigger pain in the ass, basically, to get to. And so to help minimize the potential for Packers fans to take it over, that's one of the reasons they actually picked Jacksonville, was because it was just harder to arrange flights and hotels and stuff there. They also looked at, and this is true, they looked at Aaron Rodgers' passer rating in different opposing stadiums to try and see if there was just some kind of an edge. And that's what I love about it. Like, just you're just looking. That's why I go back to what I was telling you, how random this stuff is and how thin the margins are. You're just looking for that little half percent edge, something, just a little edge, whatever it is. So I actually commend the Saints for doing this. I would not have thought, I would think they just do more logistical type of research, like moving their stuff and things like that. But no, no, no. How can we basically stick it to Green Bay? What can be the most advantageous to us, but also least advantageous to them? How can we do this so that it's just a real pain in their ass to do this whole thing? And that's what they did. So anyway, the Saints and the Packers are going to play on September 12th in the Jaguar Stadium up there in Jacksonville. As far as the Bucks, they don't make their visit there till Halloween night. That's expected to be okay. They should still be playing in the Superdome for that one. So, there's one more bit of news here just coming across as I wrap the show up. Bruce Arians, Buccaneer head coach, says the Bucks are now 100% vaccinated with the COVID-19 vaccine. They joined the Falcons as the only two teams to reach the 100% threshold, and Arians had said before that they were expected to be within one or two players of it, but they are now at 100%, so that doesn't mean everything is off the table. Obviously, there's still been some positives and things like that, but that's good news. That's really good news to hear, and, you know, this season coming up, there's going to be some times when people miss games and due to things like that. You know, this really goes a long way toward helping prevent that from happening to us. And the Bucs didn't have a huge issue with it last year, but, you know, it's just one of the things you have to watch. And he has also said before that the Bucs are sticking with last season's protocols despite being allowed to. Actually, any team that's 85% or more vaccinated is allowed to have the relaxed protocols this year. But Arians said, given the higher instances in Florida in particular, that he didn't want to mess around with that. So that's just some news coming across here as we wrap the show up. So with that said, like I told you, next week I'll be on Friday. There's not a reason to do a show Thursday morning with the game just a few hours later anyway, so I'll just wait after the game and do the show on Friday morning, and we'll recap whatever happens on Thursday night with all that stuff. In the meantime, maybe we'll start a new little tradition here and do the Any Given Sunday speech, Al Pacino, one of my favorite movie scenes in what is a really underrated sports movie, and a movie that was ahead of its time, if you think about when it was made back in, I think, 2000 or 2001, and how many issues they touched on that are commonplace nowadays but weren't at the time. And this is the best scene in the whole movie, and it's a great way to get ready for football season. So here it is, Al Pacino, or should I say head coach of the Miami Sharks, Tony D'Amato, from the movie Any Given Sunday. Oh, and just brief warning, there is a little bit of language, not a bunch, but a couple times here in the speech.
Who's willing to die, who who's gonna win that itch.
Yeah.
And I know if I'm gonna have any life anymore, it's because I'm still willing to fight and die for that itch. Because that's what living is. There's 6 inches in front of your face. Now I can't make you do it. You gotta look at the guy next to you. Look into his eyes. Now I think you're gonna see a guy who will go that inch with you.
Hell yeah.
You're gonna see a guy who will sacrifice himself for this team because he knows when it comes down to it, you're gonna do the same for him. That's a team, gentlemen. And either we heal now as a team, or we will die as individuals. That's football, guys. That's all it is. Now, what are you gonna do?
And I mean, if you're not ready to buckle a chin strap and run downfield on kickoff coverage after hearing that, then there's probably a cold, dark, like, mass in your chest where your heart's supposed to be, because that should get you going. So it is time, folks. It is Happy New Year, okay? We are into the abyss. It's football season. So week one coming up. I'll be here the whole week. Hey, if you want a fridge schedule, like I said, email me, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. Follow me on Twitter, @BobbyGameDay. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford for sponsoring the show. Thanks to the Joes for giving me this platform, the single best place anywhere, TV, internet, radio, whatever, for Bucks coverage right here at JoeBucksFan.com. And it gets me in front of all of you. Let's have fun. Let's do it together, okay? It's going to be a great year. I'm so excited, not just for the NFL, but for high school, for college, for everything. We're entering the best time of year, and I can't wait to share it all with all of you. I'll be back next week. In the meantime, get yourself right. Get everything ready to go for Thursday night. And wherever you are, as always, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.
You won't belong to me, I let you down.